Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Buzz Bitching. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we are going to be covering Game of Thrones Season 8, Episode 1, Winterfell, and Season 8, Episode 2, A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms.
Oh my god, how did we get to Season 8? How the fuck did this happen?
I don't know. We watched it? Like, what do you want me to say?
And I think this is reflective of my sense that things feel rushed in Season 8.
We'll get there.
Like, yeah, we're going to get there quickly.
I'm sorry, but there's a line immediately when, like, people are reunited. Bran just goes, we don't have time for this. And I'm just I agree.
I agree. And, you know, honestly, we bitched about Bran. There's some good stuff in these early episodes. So, well, you know, whatever. Getting back to what we're doing, and in case you were wondering, yes, we have disclaimers, including there will be cursing, because you noticed there's already been cursing.
I didn't even notice.
Yeah, there has been. For me.
I was about to say, it kind of says a lot about me if I didn't notice I cursed.
Sadly, you are my daughter. I really feel like I controlled it pretty well until you were in high school.
Okay.
But anyway, so the disclaimers include that. They include that there are going to be spoilers and bitching, most likely, because let's face it, we're at the end of this show and there are things that we had expectations for and, you know, whatever.
We'll discuss them. Sorry.
We will. But we're having things to drink. What are you having to drink?
I'm having sweet tea.
Very exciting.
What? It's the middle of the day. Like, what am I? I'm calling you out. It's the middle of the day. And I have class tomorrow. Like, I'm not. No.
It is the middle of the day and I'm feeling craptastic. So what I'm having is a drink, and I bought it as an ingredient for some other drink that I'm going to have later in the season, but it is a malted beverage called Smirnoff Ice. I figure ice is an appropriate.
You've never had Smirnoff Ice before?
No.
Okay.
I mean, hey, look, I'm the generation of Burles and James, girlfriend. But it has elements of Burles and James-ishness to it. For those of you who have not tried Smirnoff Ice, there you go. But ice, I think, is an appropriate name for drinks for the beginning part of this season. That's what I'm doing for these first two episodes. And so we have sections. What sections do we have? There's not much.
We have Winterfell, King's Landing, and Last Hearth. So
yeah. Last Hearth is last.
Yes. King's Landing first and then Winterfell. You can go ahead and start with King's Landing.
Yeah, I do want to note, and I'm happy to start with King's Landing, but I do want to note that there are way cool credits for this season.
I didn't even look at the credits. I forgot.
They updated them. They're very, very cool. It starts with the Broken Wall, and it has, like, this kind of, like, ice pathway that, I guess.
Oh, right. I forgot about that. Yeah.
And it goes from the Broken Wall to Last Hearth, which, of course, we've never seen before. Then to Winterfell, goes into the dungeons or the crypts of Winterfell. You get to see the actual crypt, like the statues in there. And then it goes to King's Landing, and it goes up through the dungeons of King's Landing with the dragon skulls, and it goes through the Iron Throne. It's all
I've forgotten about that.
It is super cool, so it is worth watching. Don't skip them the next time, because it is definitely worth seeing. We are going to start with King's Landing because it is boring and stupid. Qyburn tells Cersei, and it's like he's supposed to be delivering bad news, but he's smiling, so it's kind of like, okay, this is fucked up. The dead broke through the wall, and both he and Cersei are smiling about it, and they look out on the armada of Euron, which is showing up with the Golden Company. Golden Company arrives on ships. We see Euron in the cabin or lower level of one of these ships talking to Yara. And basically Yara's like, why haven't you killed me? He's like, I'm bored. I want to talk to somebody. My crew is mute because I cut all their tongues out. And hey, why not? And she's kind of like, you're a loser and an asshole. And he's like, I am not.
I am.
Right.
I am indeed.
And Yara's kind of like, look, if you're at King's Landing, you pick the losing side. And he's like, yeah, maybe so, but first I'm gonna, you know, fuck the queen, and then I'll go back to the Ironlands or whatever. So we then see the captain of the Golden Company, whose name I can't remember.
I don't remember his name. It's not important.
No, this is a total and complete diversion. And I will say this, and I know is a book thing. The Golden Company has it's a bigger. It's supposed to be a bigger presence than it is. Like, you get mentions of it while Jorah and Tyrion are slaves. They end up like with the Golden Company at some point. This captain of the Golden Company had on his own been like in the very last book that was written, was on his own, like entering Westeros, doing other stuff. I mean, there's so much like different weird shit. It's like, I can't even explain why this thing is a complete MacGuffin in this show. So I'm just saying,
we don't have to worry about the Golden Company.
Sorry, yeah,
but spoil but it.
He says, oh, well, we've got 20,000 men, we've got 2,000 horses, and Cersei's, what about elephants? And he's like, nope, no elephants.
The one thing you mentioned about the Golden Company was that it has elephants, and now it just doesn't. And so they're just like, we are not wasting our CGI budget on that shit.
Yeah, exactly. So they didn't bring elephants over.
We've got three dragons still.
And so Euron wants to talk to Cersei in private, and Cersei's kind of like, you know, hey, if you want a whore, you should buy one. He's like, yeah, but I deserve better or something like that. And she's like, you're insolent. And he's like, and you know, and so what, basically. And she's like, I've executed a man for less. And he's like, they were lesser men. She then lets Euron follow her back into her chambers. Da, da, da.
Not da da da. We know what happens.
Bronn, then we cut to Bronn with whores in the whorehouse. They talk about these four injured soldiers who were like killed or injured by the dragons. Qyburn comes in and tells Bronn that Cersei will pay chests of gold for him to go and kill her brothers.
Which is just so. I know. Sorry, you can say it about the crossbow stuff. Sorry.
With the crossbow that Tyrion used to kill her father.
Here's the stupid part.
There's a lot of stupid here, and there's also
she could have just killed both of them. She had ample opportunity to just kill both of them at the end of the last season, and now she's just like, now I'm gonna make things harder for myself. I'm gonna hire somebody else to figure that out and like go after them up north while they're fighting a freaking war. Like, are you kidding?
She didn't want to see the mountain do it in front of her, I guess. I mean, she's such
whatever. Turn around, like Jesus. Like, just get it over with.
It is, she is a loser. So you're on, we then cut after the creepy Ransom Castamere part, we cut to Euron getting dressed. And he asks Cersei how he compares to Robert and how he compares to Jaime. And she's like, you really enjoy risking your neck. And he's like, I don't like being bored. And she's like, well, you're not boring.
Can I just say that let's start with try to figure out the pregnancy timeline. So at this point it's been at least 2 months because we find out that she's pregnant, and then a month later is when they have the meeting with Daenerys. So right. She must have been pretty damn far along for the people back then to figure out she was fucking pregnant. So I'm going to give her an estimate of a month already in with pregnancy. So she's 2 months pregnant. She's 3 months pregnant. So she's about a third of the way through, maybe going into her second trimester at this point. And she is not showing a lick. And maybe it's just the black. Maybe it's very, very concealing. But the fact that Euron himself could not figure out that she is pregnant while she was naked with him is ridiculous to me. Maybe she just ate a big lunch. Maybe it just looks like she ate a big lunch. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
but like, Jesus. Got a
food baby.
I
will say that, you know, not everybody shows early.
But it's been months and there'll be more months to come, like, and she barely shows.
It's not like Euron knows what her body looks like without clothes on anyway. So
you can guess.
Anyway, but what he says is, I'm going to put a prince in your belly. It's like, oh, please. I mean, so it gives her the idea of, I can cover this pregnancy. Oh my God, it's just absurd.
Whatever. Stupid,
unbelievable boy.
And bullshit. I just put in all caps, you did this to yourself. Like, because she starts like almost tearing up when he's leaving. I'm just like, oh, I miss my twin sis brother. And then I'm just like, you did this to yourself. You literally drove him away. Like, yeah. What were you expecting?
It is ridiculous bullshit. So, meanwhile, Theon and other Greyjoys attack the ship that Yara's on. They silently approach and put axes in people's heads. Theon cuts Yara's bindings. She's let loose, and then she gets up and headbutts him and gives him a hand up. And they're like, let's go take our home back. And Yara, later they show her on one of the ships, and she's like, I know, you know, Theon, you want to go to Winterfell and help defend Winterfell. And she just lets him go. And that's it.
Yep. All right. Let's go on to Winterfell.
There's a lot of Winterfell. I'm going to cut into
that. Sure. A random child is running to get a glimpse of Daenerys' army as it arrives at Winterfell. This is happening around Wintertown, which is the town next to Winterfell. It's a very inventive title. I love the title of Wintertown.
Or Winterhell.
Winterville. I don't care.
It has the
Christmas town. It's very uninventive.
But it has the Baratheon marching theme going.
Yeah, because it's very similar to the pilot where, like, Robert Baratheon's people were coming in, and this boy is running around, Arya's watching him run around, and there are a lot of parallels to the pilot with, like, a big army coming in, or a big, like, caravan coming in, because it's a king or a queen coming, and this boy, like, climbs up a tree, much like a Bran thing when he could climb, And Arya sees Jon, and Arya's not there to receive him with the rest of the court. She is in Wintertown, like, just watching things in her way. Mm-hmm. Arya sees Jon and Daenerys riding with the soldiers, but Jon does not see her. She also sees the Hound and Gendry and is shocked that they are alive, especially the Hound.
All about Arya.
I'd be shocked. I would honestly, Arya gets like the most reunions in this episode. Then it's very funny to me because like she has all these connections to all these people, whereas like Sansa's kind of like, oh yeah, Jon, hi, and then that's it.
Well, she has.
She should have. Okay, no, that happens later. Never mind. I was thinking about, oh, well, she knows the Hound, but that's a different conversation later on. Yes. Anyway, as they're riding along, like, Tyrion has, like, a snide comment to Varys or whatever, and Missandei notices that people are racist, and, or just don't trust Daenerys' people or whatever. It's unclear what avenue they're going down, whether it's racist or just they don't trust Daenerys' people, but I don't know. Anyway, Jon mentions that the Northerners don't trust outsiders, and Daenerys is perturbed by this, even though she has been told this several times. Yeah. And then Drogon and Rhaegal come flying by, and everyone freaks out except for Arya, who thinks they're really cool.
And Daenerys is really happy.
Oh, of course, they're her children. And then and they fly over Winterfell, and Sansa watches. It's a really good shot of Sansa seeing them for the first time. And then Sansa is concerned about them too. Sansa and Bran are the ones to greet them when they get there. There's this really cute, this really funny moment. Give me a second with this Bran reunion. It's very weird for me. So Jon... No. I love the beginning of it. The end of it is hilarious to me. So Bran is obviously sitting in the chair. He's right next to Sansa. Jon shows up and he sees Bran for the first time in years. And he didn't even see him after. He didn't even wake up. The last time he saw him, he was kissing his comatose corpse. Like, I mean, he didn't know. And so he rides in, he immediately jumps off his horse, runs to Bran, gives him a huge hug and a kiss on the like head or cheek or something. It's very, very sweet. And he like just looks at him and he's like, oh my God, you're a man. And then Bran goes, almost. And then Jon gives this amazing look of just confusion. And I'm just like, did you want to fuck Mira? Like, what do you mean almost?
I think he's more three-eyed raven than man, but whatever.
I think that's what they're going for, but it's very funny. I just said the confusion, the look of confusion on John's face is priceless. Arya isn't there to welcome them, much like in the pilot when she was initially not there and she like ran to the gates or whatever, but she's in Wintertown. Winterville, it's Christmas Town. Daenerys comes up to Sansa after obviously Jon gives Sansa a hug. It's been months. Daenerys is like, oh, you're just as beautiful as Jon described, and this is great. Thank you so much for letting me be here.
This struck me as a callback to Sansa trying to bond with Lyanna Mormont,
my mother wasn't a great beauty. Shut up.
Shut up. Sit down.
Shut up. Sit down.
Sansa's kind of like, okay, I am beautiful, and yeah, my mom was beautiful. I can't really say no to that, but fuck you.
Daenerys is very polite to Sansa, and Sansa's just like, Winterfell is yours, your grace, or whatever. Yeah. Or maybe she even says my lady, just to like demean her.
No,
more.
She says your grace.
Your grace, damn.
It's sounding.
Yeah. And then Bran just goes, we don't have time for this.
Yes.
he says it just like that. And yeah. He says the Night King has her dragon and the wall has crumpled down. Sansa asks, they're now in the Great Hall. Sansa asks the new young Lord Umber to bring his soldiers to Winterfell because they have called all the banners in so that they can all take refuge at Winterfell and prepare for the long night, the fight thing. And Sansa asks him to bring his soldiers in and go to Last Hearth and just go like get them. He's like, I need more wagons. And she's like, we'll give you what we can. Just go. And so he heads off. And also John says to send a raven to the Night's Watch to just get them to come down here too. There's not a point to him like manning the wall when all the stuff they've been trying to man the wall for have already gotten through on the other side. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Lyanna Mormont is just confused about what to call John now. He's like,
she says, all I could think is amen, sister.
Yeah, she was like, oh, are you a lord? Are you our king? I thought we named you king in the north. You should have stayed in the north and acted like it. And then because he's not acting like a king. He bowed down to this queen and basically surrendered his title and just gave his people over to somebody who they don't really want to be a part of. Like, I mean, yes, they need her and her army for the fight, but otherwise they don't want to be like signed up. This is not what they signed up for. They signed up for Jon to be king and like rule over them, not for Daenerys to be like, once again, another person in the South who doesn't know what it's like in the North, who doesn't care about the North as much as they do. And they don't, it's very much a US British thing. It's very much just kind of like, we are the colonies. We want to just rise up. I'm sorry. I'm also rereading the Bridgerton prequels. So I'm just feeling like, okay, yeah. Anyway, very American Revolution, but it's for the North. Anyway, or it could just be Northern Ireland. It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be so Americanized, but it could just be Northern Ireland.
It could be Scotland, for that matter.
It could be Scotland.
Scotland. In any case, I want to say
you just made a noise just like
I'm sick, leave me alone. I do want to mention that Daenerys and Sansa are doing all of this side eye at each other. Mm-hmm. This whole sequence, they're kind of like, and they're really sizing each other up because I think they're both aware, number one, of their draw on John, but also on the loyalty of the people in this room, right?
Oh, yeah.
It is a big competition.
So Tyrion gets up and he feels it's his place to talk now. And he mentions that the Lannister army is marching north. Sansa is concerned about what the army and dragons will eat as well. Because, like, first of all, they don't trust the Lannisters as far as they can throw them. And they can throw Tyrion pretty damn far. So they just feel like, okay, well, we're working with the people who want us dead. Like, that doesn't make much sense, but okay. If you say so, we could use the men, whatever. But also Sansa is concerned, like, okay, so the greatest army in the world is here, and so are two fully grown dragons. What are we going to feed them? We barely have enough food in the north for ourselves. Like, what are we going to feed you guys? And she's like, what do dragons eat anyway? And then Daenerys, in like a very passive aggressive way, is like, whatever they want, even you. Not even mm-hmm. you. She doesn't say that, but it's implied.
She's thinking it.
Yeah. Then we go over to the courtyard. Gendry starts unloading the dragon glass, and Tyrion talks to Sansa on the balcony. And he says, right. The last time we spoke was at Joffrey's wedding. Miserable affair. And she said, it had its moments. Yeah, I love that. So true. She apologizes for leaving him alone in the capital. And she's like, but we both survived. So who cares that I left you for dead? It's okay. And Sansa doubts that Cersei is actually sending her army north. And she's like, I thought you were the most smart man in the world. Clearly I was wrong. Yeah, it's just obviously. Like, it's so true. Why would you trust your sister? She clearly doesn't. I can't with him. Then
Can I do the next part?
Oh, can I say the one thing about Bran being in the courtyard? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. I was about to say, that's not the part you want to talk about. Bran is awkwardly sitting in the courtyard and looks at Tyrion weirdly. He's just sitting, and then he just looks up at Tyrion and is just like with no expression on his face. And Tyrion's like, okay, like, I don't know how to take that, but yes, all right, in the gods,
it would be Branbot. We may call him Branbot, it's a thing. anyway, so John is in the godswood at the godswood tree, and Arya, you hear her voice before you see her, and she's like, she disappears, and he's like, and she's like, how did you survive a knife through the heart? And he's like, I didn't. How did you appear out of nowhere? She's kind of like, they hug, and it's beautiful, and there is a lot of crying. They discuss Needle, because she still has Needle. Of course, that was his gift to her. And he asks her, have you ever used her? She's like, once or twice. Yeah. He shows her Longclaw, and she's like, oh, and, you know, it's Valyrian steel. And she's like, are you jealous? She's like, yeah, it's a little heavy for me. And yeah, she has the knife.
I will say, I'm surprised she doesn't show off her knife at that point.
Yeah, she does not. And it's interesting. And this is what he says, and it's interesting. I could have used your help with Sansa, with Daenerys, because Sansa's been like really difficult, because of course, you know, that's always been Arya's thing. Arya and Sansa aren't friends, and she's like, Sansa's the smartest person I know, and
that's John, a big point of praise, but then again, you don't know that many smart people, so
John is really taken aback by that. He's like, I was counting an ally against her, or to like help manipulate her into the Daenerys thing. And Arya's like,
no. And I think that another thing is, it's been months. I mean, you can change your perception of a person within a few months, and that's certainly what's happened with Arya and Sansa. And so right. Him being like, oh my god,
but he wasn't like there. Other.
You weren't there, bitch.
He wasn't there, and he hasn't been with Arya in years. He doesn't know what she thinks. But
exactly.
Like, Arya's like, I'm just protecting our family. And John's like, well, I'm family too. And she's like, don't
remember that.
Don't forget it. Proceed.
Yes. Okay. So later on, the northern houses bring their men and people to Winterfell. Davos talks to Tyrion about the northern men not being loyal to Daenerys, and they have to earn. Oh, sorry, and that Daenerys has to earn their loyalty. I said they twice, and I was like, I need to specify. Davos then has this amazing idea and proposes that Jon and Daenerys get married, and I wrote in all caps, ew. And then
We know more Daenerys, than they do,
because they're on the battlements, and they're watching Jon and Daenerys just talk awkwardly, just kind of staying there. This happens a lot, where like they're just on the battlements looking at a person just standing there outside of the gates, and just, it's weird. Anyway, Daenerys talks to Jon about Sansa not liking her, and she's like, well, we don't have to be best friends. I just want her respect. And I'm just like, respect is earned, bitch. Like, she doesn't know you. Like, and all she knows is that John is clearly into you, and that might be the only reason why he actually decided to let you do what you're doing. So, other than, like, them needing the army. So, I'm just kind of like, okay, well, I don't know what you're expecting her to just immediately bow down to your feet and be like, oh, thank you, Misa, thank you. Like, who
is expecting
she
that. Does,
she's not one of the slaves you just, like, freed. She's you not one of those freed people.
Her at all.
You haven't You've freed shit. No. They're in the middle of fucking war. Anyway, yeah. The dragons are also barely eating, so they go to check on them. She says that they don't like the North. She gets on Drogon and John and gets John to ride Rhaegal. Long montage of riding dragons. Oh, why was this montage this? So long?
Can I talk about this? Because I have these things like, is this supposed to be funny or cute? I mean, like, the dialogue between them, I think, is supposed to be funny or cute or, like, the comic relief or some kind of bullshit.
All oh, I yeah. Think was, certainly when they get to the waterfall, it's certainly supposed to be comic relief.
All I could think during this whole flight sequence, and I will say that some of this came from your daddy, was a whole new hurl.
Ancest.
I can show you the hurl.
Shining, shimmering, splendid. Anyway, I just wrote, this couldn't have happened last season when we had some time on Dragonstone, or at least have it been shorter. They land and Daenerys says something similar to what Ygritte said about staying in the cave forever. And I'm so confused about why he didn't immediately alarm bells go off in his head, be like, oh, Ygritte. Oh, yeah, the person I loved. Oh, yeah, the person I watched die in my arms. Maybe I should maybe not do this right now. Maybe I'm in a mood. But no, he finds it hot. And so it's like, keep saying the things that my dead girlfriend used to say to me. Anyway, they where no one will find them. They make out while the dragons awkwardly watch. And she's just like, don't let them put you. Yeah. Oh yeah, keep your queen warm. And I'm just like, oh Jesus. And I just think in general, like, I don't know, nothing's gonna beat what him and Ygritte had. I mean, the actor's chemistry alone was insane, so it's hard to like follow that up. And also I really liked Daenerys and Dario, and not as much as Ygritte and Jon, obviously, because I didn't have the same emotional connection to them. But, and also Daenerys is awful, but I think in general, I just liked the dynamic of that better than this dynamic of, oh, I'm your queen, you better bow down to me, bitch, or whatever. I mean, and fine, it's fine if that's their dynamic, but I just hate that he has to bow down to her level to have this relationship work for them. And I think that that really takes away from Jon as a character. I think that in general, like, he has to, again, sink down to her level to have the relationship happen the way it does in the show. And it really is annoying to me because I love John. Go ahead.
So I like part of the language that you're using. I don't think that she would consider it being sinking down to her level.
Oh, and she certainly wouldn't.
I'm not sure I would call it that either necessarily, but she definitely wants him subservient.
And that's what I mean. That
really bothers. She wants him to be subservient to her. And that's, I think, why the Dario thing worked better, because that's the way
he wasn't taking that shit. He was like, you're my queen, yes. And but I will call you on your bullshit.
Because he would call her on it, but he'd do whatever she said. Whereas John, and we expected that of Dario, because Dario is nothing more than a sellsword.
Yeah.
John is king in the fucking North.
Yeah, okay. We expect more from him.
We have reason to expect more from him based on his prior behaviors. He's not just some, you know, dude with a sword.
Yeah.
And I feel like she doesn't treat him as an equal, and he's allowing that. It's like
I know, it's disappointing. He's allowing that.
He doesn't see his own worth in the relationship. And you've got the Drogon cockblock going on, which is supposed
yeah,
to be
him staring at him and then John opening his eyes like really wide.
I mean, I find this whole thing vomit. It's just
especially vomit. Now that we know they're related. So I'm like, why are you showing them making out so much if we know they're related? That's not going to make it hotter for me. No.
And I did call the theme that they had, like the love theme for them, the incest theme.
Yeah, well, okay, Sad List or like Crimes of Castamere could also be called the incest theme, but like it just depends on the situation. Anyway,
it does.
Back at the forge, Gendry is making an axe for the Hound made out of dragon glass, and the Hound is making fun of him for some reason. He just does that. The Hound just does that. And Arya comes up and is like, hey, leave him alone. And then the hound, like, go. He's like, yeah, I heard you were still alive. He says, you left me to die. She said, first I robbed you. And then he says, you're a cold little bitch, aren't you? Guess that's why you're still alive. And he just walks off. We have a little bit more of them later, but not enough. Anyway.
Agreed.
Arya compliments Gendry's new blacksmith skills. I'm surprised they don't have more of a reunion, considering the fact that the last time she saw him, he was being carted off by the Red Woman, and she was like, I could be your family. We could work together. We can whatever. We can make things work. We can just, like, run off in the forest and, like, just kind of do our own thing. We can get to the place that I need to be, but you can also have a place there. But they don't have, like, a nice little moment of, like, oh my god, Gendry, hi! And it's just, I don't know, I kind of wish they had, like, a nice moment. And I think that's one of the things that, like, these reunions are lacking for me. It's like, I do love the Jon and Arya reunion. It's a crying shame we did not see a lot more of that dynamic, because it's adorable. We only saw it in the second or first episode. It's just, it's very sad that we haven't seen these dynamics, and we have heard about the fact that Arya and Jon are, like, they just love each other so much, they're best friends, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's just disappointing not to be able to see all of that. And so anyway, but we did get to see Gendry and Arya a lot, and mm-hmm. I wish that they had more of a reaction to seeing each other again, of like, oh my god, bro, how you doing? Like a hug or like a handshake or something. I don't know.
I think there's a little bit of weirdness because both of them have grown up as like hello hormones.
Oh, absolutely. And we'll get there. And I'm happy about that. And I will have my piece. I know you have yours, but I have my own. Anyway. Okay. Arya compliments Gendry's new blacksmith skills, and he just says, you look good, and she says, thanks, so do you. And he teases her, but then he goes back to his cute little Gendry ways, and he teases her about being a lady. He's like yes your ladyship, lady. Or something like that. And then she goes, stop calling me that. And he says, yes, my lady. And she like just laughs. And then she requests that he make her a detachable dragon glass bow staff, which is really cool. And he's kind of like, okay, I guess I'll make you this random weapon, even though you were not a fighter when I last saw you, but sure, you were an aspiring fighter when I last saw you. Mm-hmm. Like, you are, I have not seen your growth, but okay. And I just wrote, they're adorable and I love them. I love it. And I think the thing is, I don't really care if they go the romantic route or the friendship route. I just like seeing these characters interact. Regardless of if they're just friends or if they are friends with benefits or whatever they will be. It's just, I love seeing their interactions because I like that he can get under her skin like no one else can, not even Sansa. It's just, I love it. Anyway, we'll talk more about their relationship in the next episode. Sansa gets a raven from Lord Glover, who is staying at his seat with his men, and she's talking to Jon in her office or whatever. Sansa thinks it's because of Jon bending the knee. He asks for her to trust his judgment on Daenerys being a good queen for them, and Sansa questions his motives about bending the knee, and she's just like, yeah, she's very pretty. Is that the only reason you bowed down to her, bro? And it's like obvious. It's so obvious that that's the only reason why. And it pisses mm-hmm. me off. Like, right. I hate that he used to have such better judgment. And he used to not, even with Ygritte, he did love Ygritte and all that stuff. But he never lost sight of the fact that she was what she was. And
here's the thing. And I'm going to say this. Ygritte was like a peer to him. He has never dealt with powerful women.
I would call Ygritte a powerful woman.
She is a powerful woman, but
not a woman with power.
Yes, exactly. And I think that that's what I'm getting at, is like, he has not dealt with women that have political power. He's only dealt with men with political power, and he doesn't know how to handle it. And I think that you know, the naivete involved in Jon with this stupid fucking relationship is just aggravating.
It's aggravating. Sorry. Then Daenerys and Jorah go to the library that we've never seen before. It's so sad where Sam is, and Daenerys thanks him for saving Jorah's life. I'm so confused by the order of like all of these events sometimes, because like I think obviously it's been like a day. and or two. It maybe it's been 2 days. And we'll find out later that John has not seen Sam.
Yeah, it's like, bizarre.
So Daenerys and Jorah are the first people to find Sam here. Yeah, are you kidding? Bizarre. And also, why wasn't Sam like at the lineup before? And why hasn't Bran been immediately like, I need to tell you something, John? Like, it just, whatever. Anyway, the question's for the ages. He asked for, Sam's like, oh, she's like, how can I ever repay you for all the stuff that you did for Jorah? And he's just like, oh, well, can I get a pardon? I borrowed a few library books. And also, I love Sam. And I also stole my family's sword. It's been in the Tarleys for generations on generations. And my father will be really pissed at me, but can I please get a royal pardon? And she's like, wait, not Randall Tarley. And she realizes that she killed his father and brother.
Well, but and Jorah realizes he doesn't know.
Yeah. And so because obviously if Sam knew, and I'm glad that he doesn't find out until this moment, because it makes it more impactful. And I'm glad that he didn't immediately go into with the preconceived notion that, oh, I hate Daenerys already. But like, I'm glad that he realizes it. Anyway, she's like, oh, well, I gave him the choice, bend the knee or die. And then Sam immediately knows what he went with. And mm-hmm. so then he's like, well, at least I can come home now that my brother's lord of Hornhill. And then she's just like, your brother stood with him. And then he just starts, like, his face just crumbles. And he's trying to keep himself together, but he's about to start crying. And then he's like, can I just go, please? And I just, like, enforced Sam. And I just said, do you see the consequences of your actions on good men who saved your advisor's life? Like, these people you're killing, they have a family. And I wish that she learned her lesson here of like, oh my God, like this man who probably wouldn't have, well, he probably would have saved his life regardless, but especially like he might've been more hesitant to do it, but he is a good man. And yes, his father was an asshole. We all know it. He was an asshole. Regardless, it was still his father and it was still his brother, especially his new brother, Dickon. 2.0. I wish that she started having more of a perspective of maybe I shouldn't just go immediately for killing people, because I see now what that effect is on good men who can also service me well and service the people I know well.
Right. And I want to point this out, and I'm just doing this because it's as good a time as any. You know, she had heard things like that from Hisdar when they were in Marine, because, you know, she killed his father, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But her thinking was, oh, he was a bad person because he was a slave owner, or you're a bad person because you want to bring back slaves or whatever. And so she justified it in her mind with that. She doesn't have a justification for this other than I gave him a choice. It's like, your choice fucking sucks.
Exactly.
And Marine too is like, I gave them a choice. It's like, no, you really didn't.
You didn't. And then also, you also have to put in perspective that if they join you, they're gonna die if Cersei wins. And they're going to be screwed. If they're screwed, they're between a rock and a hard place and a fiery place. A fireplace. and they're between a rock and a fireplace, a brick and a fireplace. Funny. Anyway, uh-huh. I don't know why I was trying to go so hard in that metaphor. Anyway. Sam like goes down into the courtyard and he sees Bran is still sitting there and he's like, hey, why are you here? It's cold. It's night. Why are you sitting here all day? And what Bran says is waiting for an old friend. We will see that later. And he says Sam needs to tell John the truth. And Sam's like, why don't you just tell him the truth? And he's just like, no, it's you. You better. Just do it. And I'm just like, why, Bran?
What he says, and I think he's right. He's like, oh, you've been more his brother than I have.
Well, that and also, like, I'm not technically his brother anymore. So,
but I think what he means is, like, you've been closer to him and like a brother to him in a way that I never was. So, you know, and that's true. And he will believe you when you tell him in a way that he wouldn't believe me.
For sure. So Sam goes to the crypt where John is by Ned's statue, because all conversations with the Starks have to happen right next to Ned's statue.
Or
I'm okay with it.
Or the Godswood.
or the gods would. And so Sam and John are reunited and hug in the crypt next to Ned and Lyanna's statue. Sam asks if he knew about Daenerys killing his father and brother, and John did not know, and he feels awful for Sam. And but he's also not quite
justify it. He tries to justify a little bit, like, oh well, hey, that was bad, and you can see it on his face.
No. Sam asks, would you? No, Mom. Sam asks if he would have done the same thing, and he's like, well, I have executed men who have gone up against me. I can't say I haven't. And he's like, but you also have shown men mercy. You have also done all of this other great stuff where you gave them a chance. And I feel like we all know that John probably would have given him a chance. And Sam tells John the truth about who he is, that he is Rhaegar and Lyanna's son, that they got married in Dorne in a secret ceremony. There's this funny line where he's like, I had a High Septon's diary and Bran had whatever Bran has. That's true. That's and great. We put it together. It's just funny. And then John doesn't think that Ned would have lied to him, because I think that is a valid concern, not concern, but like a valid reason for him to not believe it, and it not just being like, oh, well, you and Bran just don't like Daenerys or whatever. No, he can't believe that his father, the man who he thought was his father, and technically is, like, in every sense of the word, he was a father to this boy. He can't believe that the most honest man he's ever known would lie to him and his entire life and never tell him who his mother was. And obviously it was for his protection, but that doesn't make him feel much better right now. And I do love these lines where he's like, Daenerys is our queen, and then Sam's just like, she shouldn't be. Sam also says, you gave up your crown to save your people, would she do the same? And the answer is no.
Right, but one of the things that Sam does in this conversation is explain, Ned protected you, Lyanna told him who you were, he knew that Robert would kill you, and he protected you all this time. And John realizes, yeah, that's something Ned would do.
That's the most honorable thing he could have done.
In those circumstances, absolutely.
And before we get the last hearth, go ahead.
One other thing that I thought about during this conversation was Maester Aemon and his conversations with John about Targaryens alone in the world. And all I could think is, if Maester Aemon had known, wouldn't that have been sweet?
Yeah, that would have been sweet, but he didn't. Anyway, then also the last thing in Winterfell before we get to Last Hearth is Sir Jaime goes through Winterville or Wintertown or Christmastown or whatever. He goes into the courtyard. He takes off his hood. It's all dramatic and all that stuff. It's been a long journey for him, a month-long journey. He did not bring anyone with him. He was not helpful at all. He's like, I have only one hand, but I also have a Valyrian steel sword, so maybe that will help us. I don't know. And even though John didn't bring up that Valyrian steel does shit, but fine. He turns around, and in the background is just Bran sitting in his wheelchair looking at him, and it's so great. He has no expression on his face, which actually I do like for the moment. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of glad he's kind of like monotone face, like nothing showing, because the last time that Jamie saw him was him pushing him out of a window of the tower, because he saw him having twincest with Cersei, and that was in the very beginning. He was 10 years old, 10 years old. It's like, only we know that reference. Don't worry about it.
Keep going.
Love Never Dies, Phantom of the Opera sequel. It's awful. Don't watch it. Anyway. So that's it. Like, I just love his like face, and then Jamie's face is just like a pure horror, like, oh god.
Yeah, exactly. Fuck is the way it puts on. It's like, oh fuck.
All right, go ahead. So last heart.
And this is really, it's scary, it's creepy, it's fucking awesome. So
I love the line though. You have to say the line.
Yes, we see Tormund and Beric, and they are entering this kind of destroyed fortress that is, at this point, Last Hearth. It is destroyed, silent courtyard. There's, like, stuff that's been damaged. It is dark. They've got torches. you hear this shuffling sound, and of course everybody like assumes that it's whites, right? And so there's also like, and I don't know if it's background music or it's something else, it sounds like bells. And so they're kind of going through the corridors, and they, you know, they've got torches, and then Tormund jumps out, and Ed comes out, and he's like, "Watch out, he has blue eyes." And Tormund's like, "I always had blue eyes."
That's the comic relief we need.
And you know, Ed's like, "Oh God, fucking great." Yeah. So they ask Ed, "Did you find anyone?" He's like, "Oh, kind of." And I should say this, I mean, because of the lighting, and it's just me, I'm looking at this, like, Ed looks like an old, you know, like Dutch master's painting. He's got this like Van Dyke kind of beard. He's got shadows on him. It's kind of cool. So what he leads them to is a room where the Umber Boy is tacked to the wall with like a spear or something. And around him is a circle of arms, like human arms, in one of those spiral, weird, creepy things that we've seen the whites and the children of the forest do, although they didn't do it with arms. The boy then starts making that White Walker screaming sound. And so they set fire to him and he screams more. And they realize, Ed and Tormund discuss, that the Night King's army is between them and Winterfell, and they're all on foot. And are they gonna fucking get there?
Yep. Okay. And that's
for the episode.
Yep. Best parts. The reunions, Bran ending Jaime with a single look. Theon for stepping the fuck up, finally. Gendry. I love Gendry. We did not see Podrick, so he is, well, Podrick's here in spirit. Arya, Sam, for finally, like, I'm glad that Sam has a little bit of an edge to him now that he knows that some of his family is dead because of Daenerys. I'm glad he has an edge towards Daenerys that is just kind of like, yeah, no, she doesn't deserve to be queen. Also, you are technically the heir to the Iron Throne. So, yeah. And in more sense of the word, like, we're just like, initially you're thinking, oh, he's just the next male heir. No, he's also the heir from the Iron Throne. Like Rhaegar was the heir to the Iron Throne. He had the son to the Iron Throne, so he's obviously next in line before Daenerys anyway. So in the natural line of succession, that's where he lands before Daenerys. Anyway, yeah. Gendry, Arya, Sam, Tormund, and Ed, and that's it. Yeah. And Sansa for saying that shit to Tyrion. That was funny.
I put both the Sansa and Tyrion and the Ed and Tormund thing into the reunions. I think all of the reunions in this episode are fabulous. Yeah. I like Bran being a little bossy. I kind of like him, you know, like saying, "Hey, we got to get shit done." I like all the Stark everything. I like Lyanna Mormont. Like, hey, I thought you were the fucking king in the north. What's wrong with you? I find the dragon thing semi cute. So not the love story, not the love story part of it, but the dragon's kind of looking at him like, hey, you know, as pets do. And I also love the creepy as fuck Last Hearth stuff. That is scary.
That is scary.
So what were your worst parts?
Jon and Daenerys, aka Ancest. Tyrion being dumb and trusting Cersei to like just do everything for him. Daenerys in general, like, what the fuck? You're finally being confronted with the reality of what you did to this family, and you can't even find it in your heart to feel bad for him. Like, you're not even like, yes, you apologize. You didn't even apologize. You just stood there and were just like, yeah, and he asked to be excused, and you're just like, fine, okay, whatever. It was testified. I gave him a choice. Fuck you.
It's anyway. Almost like she's offended by it. It's really terrible.
I know. It's anyway, terrible. Dragon riding montage. Did not need that. Is it fun? Sure. Could it have been last season and like 2 minutes shorter? Yeah. And then the pacing. Like, I loved Bran just going, we don't have time for this. And I'm just like, okay, that's one way to end a conversation. That's just really funny. I should have just put in my best parts the quote, we don't have time for this.
Yeah. My worst parts, and I'm assuming you're done, yes, are Daenerys and Jon. And I include in that the Dragonflight whole new hurl part. I don't like that part. The thing that I like with the dragons is them cockfucking. That's it.
Sure, the only
part I like because
they
like
know better.
Because they know. And by the way, only Targaryens are supposed to be able to ride on dragons. This should be a hint. Hello?
Daenerys doesn't know shit.
she's a dumbass. Daenerys overall, I would put that in all caps with exclamation points. I hate her in this episode. I hate what she has become. I hate everything about her behavior at this point. And I didn't put Tyrion being a dumbass, but Tyrion being a dumbass. Like him trying to make a speech at this group of Northerners.
That was really stupid.
Shut the fuck up, you fucking moron.
You think welcome here, bro? No.
Yeah, no. So what grade did you give this episode?
This was hard to grade. I think if I'm being generous, it's a B+, because I think that I do like the reunions. I can't deny I do, but I don't know. It's either a B or a B+ for me. I can't decide which.
So there are things about this I absolutely love. That whole last horror thing I think is so great. And so part of this, I initially was like, A, because that's right at the end, but A minus.
No.
Yeah, no, I think A minus because I love these reads. I love the fact that we're finally gonna get some shit done. So yeah, I liked this episode a lot. This season is extremely uneven for me, but I like this episode and I gave it an A minus.
Okay, all right, I'll stick with a B+ then.
So we've got
episode 2. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No problem.
A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. I feel like I just cut you off again. It's okay.
And so we have sections for this. Before we get into the sections, I do want to point out that they even amend the credits in this, and Last Hearth is iced over.
Mm-hmm.
So this is cool. Keep going.
And the ice path is getting closer. Anyway.
Well, and they also have a camp around Winterfell now, and before they go into the crypt. So that's cool too. Keep going.
Cool. Yeah, I really need to rewatch that. Anyway, so the sections are Winterfell. Anyway.
Yes.
So let's get started.
We might divide the Winterfell.
So Daenerys talks. They're in the Great Hall, and Jaime is basically being put on trial. Daenerys talks to Jaime about him killing her father, and I just wrote down, you aren't the only one with trauma because of Jaime, Daenerys. Some people were crippled. Some people were directly affected by him. Like, not everybody was you, Daenerys, whatever. And then Daenerys, you know what I didn't think about? I did not realize that Bran did not figure out who pushed him out that window or how he fell out that window until he became the Three-Eyed Raven. He never knew.
Yeah, he certainly never said he knew. So yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, so that's crazy. Isn't that wild? Anyway.
Yeah.
And also, we'll talk about it in a minute. Daenerys is upset that Cersei lied to her, which whatever. I also said in my notes, it would have helped more if Jaime sent a raven ahead of him to warn them that they weren't coming with an army and that it's just him and that you should prepare for us not to be there.
But one of the things that she says, though, is like, well, you could be an assassin kind of thing.
Oh, that's so true. And Tyrion kind of fights in defense of Jaime, and it's just like, no, I trust my brother. And she's like, you trusted your sister? And I'm like, fair enough. And Sansa agrees with Daenerys saying that they shouldn't trust him. Then Bran quotes, the things we do for love. And Jaime just looks at him, and I just love that he said that with no fucking context for anybody else but them. And it's just like such a random thing to say in the middle of just a trial for somebody. Just imagine I'm in a wheelchair just sitting next to like somebody just on trial for something, and I'm just like, the things we do for love. And then he just looks at me with a significant look, and everyone's like, oh, okay.
Like, and Jamie's like, holy shit, he knows.
Well, yeah, and I think that, again, that's his tip. I think he kind of knew already that Bran had a feeling when they saw each other in the courtyard, but he especially knows now because he just quoted himself back to him. And Bran then speaks in his defense, which Sansa trusts Bran, so she says to let him stay. Because he basically just says, I want to fight for the living, and that's all it takes. And to John, and then Daenerys is like, oh my god, I'm not getting any backup from Sansa anymore. I was getting backup. We had a moment. And then she looks to John and is just like, hey, what do you want to do, John? And then John's like, well, we need every man we can get, so yeah. And then, well, Daenerys is like, fine, you'll stay.
Part of what I love is this dynamic of Daenerys is clearly losing control of the situation. I mean, not only is Sansa like not backing her, she's like, oh, he's, I mean, she makes the ruling, like, he's gonna stay. And Daenerys is like, wait a minute, this is my tribunal. And, well, what do you think, King in the North? Because she's thinking, I guess, you know, like Sansa is being, you know, insubordinate or something. And Jon's like, we need all the people we can get. Grey Worm returns the swords to Jaime, and Sansa just gets up and leaves. She doesn't wait for Daenerys. There's no, like,
I love it.
It's like, Sansa's just like, I'm going. Fuck you. And Jon, like, is terrified to be alone with Daenerys, so he runs
away. So he walks off too, because he also now knows that it's incest. It's like, anyway. What? Daenerys is upset with Tyrion for being dumb and threatens to find a better hand. And I honestly say, yeah.
There is a phrase in here that I really kind of enjoy. She has a conversation with Jorah about it. And she says, I'll find another hand, whatever. And I don't know if it's
here. No, that's later. That's later.
Is it? Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Anyway.
It's clearly going to be Jorah or Varys.
Yeah, no, it's Jorah. Gendry is working on the weapons in the forgery. Forge. And Arya visits him, and he thinks he's hot because he is. Yes. He's also near hot things, so he's sweating. Ooh, and he's damp. And anyway, moist. He's supple. Arya wants him to work on her weapon first, and he's just like, I'm working on these, like, thousands of dragon glass daggers. Can't this other weapon wait? Because I don't even know if you can actually use it. And then Gendry also suggests that she stay in the crypt with all the other people. And I would love to know who came up with the amazing idea to use the crypt as their, like, hideout for the people. Does Jon not think for 2 seconds that there are remains down there? I know. Who fucking cares, mother? It's a dumbass idea. Who decides to leave children and women down there?
And it's cool, and we should not be talking about it right now.
And we will talk about it later, but who came up with the idea? That's what I'm curious about.
I don't know.
Behind the scenes, I think Tyrion was the one who came up with the idea, which makes sense for his track record right now. But, like, Jon didn't think for 2 seconds, maybe there's something I've seen in the past that should makes more less sense. Anyway,
right? Yeah, I would point out too that it's underground, and I guess their concern is that they'll get, you know, like, physically overwhelmed by the numbers above ground.
Anyway, we'll talk about that later. That's next episode's problem. Arya, she's just like, yeah, no, I'm not going to do that. And she asks about what the dead are like and how they act, how they move, how they might even think. And he's just like, they just act like the dead. Like, it's nothing I can ever describe to you. And she then shows off her prowess at darts and just like tosses the now made dragon glass daggers at the wall, barely looking at where she's throwing them, but she's doing it, like, perfectly every time. And he's just very impressed. Like, she's always had good aim. Like, you remember in season 2 when she did those, like the archery, and she, like, hit exactly where she wanted to go? It's just like, yeah, no, she's very good. She has great aim, and she's a great fighter. And
I love this line.
What line?
Where she's like, you know, she throws them 3 times, and everyone's kind of like, oh my god. And Gendry's looking at her, and she's like, "My weapon." He's like, "I'll get right on it."
Yeah, no, that's adorable. And Gendry finds that hot, and he will work on her weapon first. Then Jaime visits Bran in the Godswood, because you know where Starks are going to be? The Godswood or the Crypt. Because those are places Ned is felt. Anyway, he visits Bran in the Godswood and apologizes for what he did. Bran he also is kind of like, you weren't sorry then. And then you wouldn't have been sorry if you hadn't. It's just exactly. And Bran didn't tell them about the fact that Jaime pushed him off, because I mean, they would just kill Jaime, and that wouldn't really help anybody. They could use all the people they could get. And Jaime asks what will happen afterwards, and Bran's like, "How do you know there isn't afterwards?"
Good point.
And so then Jaime and Tyrion talk about how they're disliked while people are working on dragon glass spikes for the trenches. They're basically like wooden spike things with dragon glass like
tips on them.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Tyrion talks about how he was stupid about Cersei, thinking that Cersei changed because of her pregnancy. Obviously. Tyrion also says his dying plan, just like he did in season one, he wants to die at the age of 80 with a glass of wine in his hand and a woman's mouth around his cock. Great, thanks. I didn't need that cock, but fine. And then Jaime sees Brienne again from basically the same place that like they saw Jon and Daenerys in the last episode, like from the battlements, looking down and seeing Brienne just standing there. He goes down to outside the gates, and I know Podrick is there. I'm aware. What?
No. One of the things that you overlooked is Tyrion, like, I can't believe we're going to die in Winterfell or die defending Winterfell. And they're both kind of like, yeah, that's a problem.
Oh, well.
And Cersei won't get to murder him. I think that some of that is actually kind of good.
That is funny. Then Jaime goes down and Bran is watching Podrick teaching other people, because he has improved so much in the many months that he has. And he has a beard now. He has longer hair. He's looking good. He's fighting well, and he's teaching other people. And Jaime goes up to Brienne and says he came to Winterfell because he wants to serve under her command and fight the dead. She's doing the left flank. She's like, she's leading the left flank, and so he wants to serve under her command.
Okay. I will say that there is awkwardness between them. There certainly is. That I've got like no next to
it. Yeah, like, and I'm just like,
we'll discuss it later, but
we I'm will. Just, but it's, they're laying the groundwork for it now, and I just like to say the hint of romance there. Is it better than Cersei? Absolutely. Like, anything's better than your sister, but I don't like it.
No, I do want to say that they have a little bit of Grey Worm in the background, like overseeing stuff. And I love Grey Worm, so it's okay.
Okay.
Like he's overseeing preparation.
I'm aware. But speaking about Brienne and Jaime, I think they have chemistry? Sure. Do I think it's romantic chemistry? Not necessarily.
Yeah, not.
It's not romantic chemistry. It's like buddy buddy chemistry or respect or whatever. It's not romantic for me. Anyway, they get weird in season 8. They just want to pair everyone up. Anyway, so then later, this is the part you were talking about. Jorah talks to Daenerys about forgiving Tyrion for his mistakes and that he's the better hand than him. I don't really agree anymore, since Tyrion has gotten hit with the stupid stick and he's just kind of acting dumb now.
This is one of the things that Daenerys says, and I didn't write down the exact quote, I should have, because the wording stuck in my mind. She's like, "I chose him to be my hand. I'm angry with him because I chose him to be my hand, not because he's clever, but because he's ruthless."
No, that's later. That's later with Sansa.
But she does say it, and I'm kind of like, yeah.
I also would like to say that they are adding more red to Daenerys' outfits. They'll subtly do this. They will continue to do this. Like last episode, she had like a gray and white outfit. this episode she has a gray, a gray and white in the last episode. Now she has a gray and red outfit. They will keep adding red. It's symbolic or whatever. I don't care.
Of the Targaryen. Because it's fire and blood, whatever. Say that, Jorah does say, oh, no, Tyrion should keep being your hand. And there's one other thing I want you to do.
I was getting there. He suggests to make amends with Sansa. And Sansa is starting to dress a bit like Cersei, I noticed. She's starting to wear the black with a little bit of a chain for armor or whatever. She kind of looks like a High Septon, almost with the chain. But otherwise, she is going full Cersei, but long-sleeved. So is Cersei. It doesn't matter. They're trying to be poetic anyway, but she's better than Cersei. I will say that's pretty easy to say. She's not fucking her brother. She also didn't blow up a whole sept full of people. Anyway, Daenerys talks to Sansa and talk about how they shouldn't have trusted Cersei. And Sansa's like, yeah, you were really stupid to trust Cersei. And she's like, yeah, no, Tyrion was definitely dumb. And then she's just like, no, you were too. You were pretty dang dumb too. And then Daenerys tries to make it a girl power moment and it's just kind of like, I think we both know how it feels to have men not be able to handle the fact that women are in power right now. And Sansa's like, okay, bitch. She also ruins the moment when Jon is brought up and Sansa says men are easily manipulated. Then Sansa gets all buddy-buddy for a second, and she's like, I should have thanked you the moment you got here. Oh my god, yes. And Daenerys says that she's there because she loves Jon. And I'm just like, you should be there because the dead are coming, but sure. Yeah. And Sansa asks, well, what happens afterwards? And she's like, well, I mean, I rule. I get on the Iron Throne and I rule. And she's like, no, but what happens to the North? What happens to the North, Daenerys? What happens? And then she's like, because we fought to get our land back. And are we just going to be under your thumb now? Like, because that's not going to work for me. And they're like holding hands for like a minute. Like Daenerys puts her hands on Sansa's hands. And then Daenerys, like as soon as Sansa asks, like, all right, so what about the North though? She pulls away her hand really abruptly. And Sansa says like, yeah, you don't want to fucking mess with me. This like girl power moment is not how this is going to happen. I want what I want, and you're going to have to give it to me, or otherwise this is not going to work.
Right. And I do want to point out, because I might talk for the next little bit about Sansa, because the second that she touches Sansa's hand, because she puts her hand on Sansa, Sansa doesn't react like by holding her hand. She just doesn't move it, and you can see like that kind of playing on her face, like, should I punch her? I mean, like, there's just a little bit of don't fucking touch me, bitch. But she handles it verbally, and I love that she does that. She's like, so what about the North? And then you see Daenerys like, fuck, and you see her being really angry. Daenerys can't hide it as well, and the anger is there on her face, like, you've got to bend the knee to me, and it is almost, she wants to say it, but she doesn't. She hardens a lot. And so they get called out, like, is it Lord Royce or somebody comes in and says, oh, there's someone here for you, for Sansa. Like, the count of Sansa. And so Sansa goes, I don't get to do this. Come on. You've done
I have stuff to say, but fine, go ahead.
Hey, come on. So she goes upstairs and there's Theon. And it's so sweet.
He's there for Sansa, not for Daenerys, even though he's serving Daenerys currently. And he talks to Daenerys first. She's like, well, where's Yara? And he's just like, yeah, no, she went back to the Iron Islands to like take them back in your name so that you can have a place to go to after this if things go south.
What he says is, I want to fight for Winterfell.
And then he looks at Sansa, and Sansa, the camera pans over to Sansa, who's like almost on the verge of tears. It is so sweet. And they just run to each other, and Daenerys is just standing there awkwardly. And they run to each other and give themselves a big hug. And I'm like, this is the pairing I want.
Yeah, this is the loyalty Daenerys cannot buy. And that's the reality of it, is that she can't buy that.
I would like to also mention, I know that I would like to fight for Theon and Sansa, like the coupling of that, because yes,
really, he doesn't have a penis.
Just look at the way they were framing them in this episode and the next episode, and you will understand.
And we need more little Starks in the world, and that's not going to get us there. So no,
I'm all aware, Mom. I also would like to say that he will never hurt her with his cock.
Fair.
Which is what she needs in a man.
And well, she needs some penis. She just doesn't need that or Ramsay. So
I think Theon would understand. Anyway,
possible.
I
think Theon would let her. Moving on.
No, we're not moving on quite yet. Because I would like to mention that I know you want her and like for what we'll talk about that actually. No, never mind. All right, we'll keep going. But it's super sweet. But regardless of all of that, it's a really sweet reunion. They clearly love each other so much. They have so much loyalty to each other now because they know what the other went through to a certain degree. Yeah. Anyway, Davos.
Gilly, can I do a little bit since you've done this?
I have something to say in this part, but fine.
Okay. Gilly, we get finally see Gilly, which we haven't seen at all. And she is helping serve soup with Davos. A little girl comes up and she's like, you know, I want to fight. And
I'm sorry, but this girl has clearly like this big mark on her face just to make it be like, are you get it? It's Shireen. It's just like, I'm like, it's the subtlety of a jackhammer. Like, I'm just so upset by how little they trust us. And to put it, and also, I would like to say Shireen's music is in the background.
I didn't hear Shireen's music. Good for you.
Dun, 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 dun. Her little lullabies in the background. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, you cannot get any more like obvious.
Here, Davos, you should have your heartstrings pulled. But the little girl says that she wants to fight if everyone's going to fight for the North. And Gilly's like, look, I'm going to be in the crypt and I'd really love it for you to come and protect me in the crypt. And she's
it's a great moment for Gilly.
I can do that. And then we hear the horn sounding. And it is Ed and Sam! Yay!
Ed and Sam?
Ed and Sam reunion. Tormund and John reunion.
Tormund literally is about to almost tackles John. It's great.
It's so cute. It is so cute. And you know, he asks about, like, he's like, you came from last hearth. You know, the Umbers are fighting for the Night King now. I think Beric says it. He's like, and John realizes, oh shit.
They also had to go around the army apparently to get there. So it's
they
like,
did. Okay. He's like, how much time do we have? And before the sun comes up tomorrow, they're going to be here. And so Tormund wants to know, is the big woman still here?
Yeah, I love that. There are people starting to prepare for battle. John talks to the leaders about how they need to kill the Night King and that should be their main objective. Bran says, like, they're just like, well, how are we going to lure him out? Like, if that's how they lose, he's not going to just be on the battlefield. And then Bran's like, he'll come for me. It's so fucking funny. And he's just like, yeah, no, he comes back for all the three-eyed ravens. He'll come for me. He's just like, we're the world's memory and he wants to delete us from the universe or whatever. And right, which
that's what death is.
I'm confused on why they didn't really touch on that much earlier. Like, I mean, they did. They didn't really describe why the Night King was specifically after the three-eyed raven, but I guess that's why. And then Sam has this whole like philosophical kind of like, yeah, that's what death is, losing your memory or something. I'm just like, okay. Anyway, Bran has the mark. Go ahead.
Bran says that he will sit in the Godswood and basically be bait for him. And they're like, you can't be alone. John's kind of like, yeah, I can't leave you alone there. And Theon's like, no, he won't be alone. I'll be there for him, which is very sweet. And you know, the redemption arc for Theon in the next few episodes is amazing.
It's great. So Davos,
they talk about like, oh, well, you know, you need to be over in this other spot. And
they're kind of like, look, Davos can wave a torch to light, doesn't need to wave a torch to light. Tyrion, I'm sorry, wants to be.
I was going to say Tyrion.
And he's like, I'll be out there. I can, you know, wave and light the crypt. And they're like, Davos can do that himself. Daenerys is like, Tyrion, I need you in the crypt because I need for you to survive this. You strategize better than anyone. And they discuss whether or not a dragon, because Jon and Daenerys are going to ride the dragons. Will Dragonfire stop the Night King? And Bran's like, no one knows. We don't know. And of course, so this
nobody knows.
And basically it's like, well, we're all going to die, and we're going to die together. So
Jon is also being icy towards Daenerys. Like at the end of the meeting, like everyone's dispersing and Jon just walks away from Daenerys. And I'm just like, yay, no incest. Tyrion then talks to Bran and wants to hear about his life story. And I just put in all caps. And this is what sparks that idea. Literally do that with anyone else and you will get a more interesting story. Anyway,
Bran bot.
Missandei is ignored by racist children in the courtyard and or something. I don't know if they're going for racism or not.
It's not clear that it's racism or just like we don't know you kind of thing, but it's portrayed basically as racism.
Yeah, it's confusing. Grey Worm asks what Missandei wants to see or do after Daenerys takes the throne. She says she wants to go back to Narth, and then they have a weird conversation about him protecting her, and she's like, "My people are peaceful. I won't need something about needing protection." I'm just like, "What are you talking about?" Like, I'm confused. And then he's like, "I'll protect you," and I'm like, "All right, that solves that problem, I guess." Like, what was that? And he's like, "People are rough and tumble or whatever," and I'm just like, "What?"
We're not peaceful.
And I'm like, what? Okay. And then it ends basically with them being like, yeah, no, we're going to do that. Sam asks if Jon has told Daenerys about what's going on, and Ghost is there. Ghost. We finally see Ghost.
I do want to say, like, this starts a whole sequence of, like, the, you know, getting the preparation night, like the anxiety going into it. And I love, like, you know, Sam and Jon, finally Ghost is there. Ed joins them, and these lines are fucking fabulous.
Do you have them?
I do, and if I don't, you can correct me. So Ed.
Oh, I didn't write them down. That's why I asked.
So Ed joins them, and he's like, "Well, I guess, and now our watch begins." And Jon gives Sam permission to go to the crypt, basically like, "Hey, you know," and Sam's like, "Wait a minute, I fought, you know. I killed the first White Walker and all that other stuff." And Ed's response is, "Samuel Tarly, slayer of White Walkers, lover of women," as if we needed any more signs the world is coming to an end.
There are other things that they say. Like, I wrote down like the synopsis of that. Sam says he's killed a White Walker, a single Fen, and stole some books, so they need him. And I'm just like, okay, you stole some books from the library. Ooh. And also, I think Ed says something like, "Oh yeah, we're fucked," and then Sam's just like, "I don't think that works for you." It's just really funny. Anyway, yeah. Somebody says, like, in that trio, someone says they'll be safe down in the crypt, about like Gilly and Little Sam, and I again in all caps, I was like, "How can anyone say that and not have alarm bells go off?"
That's true. It's true, but they also talk about how, you know, they used to have Gren and Pip, and they're like, it's just a three now. It's just really sad. Then we have Tyrion and Jaime drinking.
Yeah, Tyrion talks to Jaime about the first time they were at Winterfell, which is apparently when they went in the pilot, which is kind of surprising to me in a way. Like, I mean, I guess it makes sense that they spent most of their time in Casterly Rock and King's Landing, but I mean, you never went to Winterfell ever? Okay. Bran and Podrick show up and drink some ale with them as they contemplate their imminent demise. Tormund and Davos join them. Tormund talks to Jaime about their titles, as like him being Giant Bane, like he killed a giant when he was 10 or something, and then a woman, the giant's wife, like took him and like did Elisa Aaron on him, and I didn't like that. Then Tormund chugs his drink and most of it goes down the front of his shirt. Then, oh, this is great. Arya joins the Hound at the on the battlements, and they share a drink. They discuss how she has changed, and she's like less chatty, and she wonders why he's being so selfless. And she's just like, "You, when was the last time you fought for anyone but yourself?" And then he says, "I fought for you, didn't I?" And my heart breaks. It grows three sizes like the Grinch. It is so fucking sweet. Love it.
He would have fought for Sansa too back in the day.
Well, he tried, but then she didn't let him. But like, but he, I just love, I fought for you, didn't I? That's so sweet. Beric then joins them and starts rambling about the Lord of Light, but he's stopped by the Hound, who just is done with that shit.
No, I love the line the Hound has. So like, he's like, if you're gonna talk about the Lord of Light, the Lord of Light is gonna wonder why he brought you back so many times just to have me chuck you over the wall.
That was funny. Arya then leaves to spend her final hours doing other stuff. She is practicing her archery. Gendry shows, and she's like hitting it perfectly every time. Gendry shows up, which is also a nice callback to the beginning when she like got the bullseye and the pilot. Gendry shows up and gives her the weapon she requested. She asks about what the Red Woman wanted, and he tells her about being Robert's bastard, and she's like kind of just like playing around with her bow staff, and then he's like, "I'm Robert Baratheon's bastard child," and she stops and she's like, "What?" And then he's just like, "Yeah, no, she needed my blood, so she stripped me down, tied me to the bed, and put leeches on me." And this is the funniest line. Ready for this? She said, was that your first time?" And he said, "Yeah, that was the first time I've had leeches put all over me." And he's like, "Yeah, that was the first time someone put leeches on me." And it makes me wonder, was there a second time? Like, what are you talking about? She asks if he's a virgin, and he says no, he's been with three women. And well, he's just like, "I didn't keep count." And she's like, "Yes, you did." Because she's kind of playing her own game of faces right now, because she's gotten really good at seeing people's tells. And so she's like, "Yeah, I know you definitely kept count," because also he's a bastard. And so it makes sense for somebody like that, who was the product of something like that, who was ostracized because of that, that they would keep track and make sure that things are well in order and like exactly all above board, all that stuff. And so she says that since they're going to probably die soon, she wants to know what it's like. And he's like, "Oh, okay." And then she just immediately like grabs her and like pulls him into a kiss, and they have a makeout session. And then she like pushes him down into a pile of hay and is just like, "I'm not the fucking Red Woman. You need to take off your own pants." And she strips down, and she also has like scars on her side, and like I bet she definitely has scars like on her stomach, because she was stabbed in the stomach several times. I don't know why they're showing the scars on her side. Like, I don't know where that's from, but sure. And so just to show that she's war torn or whatever. And they have sex, and I wrote, "I'm all for it." And
I'm not against it.
I think that in general, like, it's okay. I'm totally fine with them not like getting married or whatever. Like, I'm totally fine with that. That's not her thing. I would have liked it, but
you've got like all these, you know, like the Baratheon strongholds that need to be manned after the war. You've got stuff, you need like people, need good people.
I have liked them getting married, sure. I just think that even if since that's not really her speed, it would be fun if it was just a friends with benefits thing where they like kind of travel. And obviously like we'll get to that later, what I want for them, but whatever. Right now I'm just glad they're having sex, good for them. Back in the hall, the group from before with Davos and all them, they are discussing their incredible luck so far in battles, and it's like, wow, we survived a lot. It's almost like we have plot armor. I wish they saved this war for last to make it more suspenseful about what will happen. Because I loved the idea, because they had those posters where it's like every character's on the Iron Throne, including the Night King. And mm-hmm. could you imagine if that was the end of this show? Like, they were preparing for the Night King to attack at the very, very end, and you don't know if he's just going to prevail. Because if it's in the middle of the season, we fucking know what's going to happen. It's not just going to be Cersei and her sad fuckers down in, like, King's Landing for the rest of the time. So it's like, okay, well, we know what's going to happen. It's going to be disappointing.
Yeah, it is. And I think that that's a lot of it. It's interesting, though. So, like, they talk about, you know, Tyrion's like, I think we'll survive. We've all, like, survived these things. It's kind of surprising. Mm-hmm. But we have. And Davos is like, yeah, I've survived despite having no fighting ability. And Tormund then talks to Brienne about, I can't understand why Brienne is not a knight. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, it's tradition. Women can't be knights. And Tormund's like, fuck tradition. I would have knighted you 10 times over if I were a king. And then Jaime's like, you don't have to be a king to knight somebody.
Anybody, you just have to be a knight.
Anyone who has been knighted can knight someone else. And he tells Brienne to get up and kneel. And Podrick kind of like nods at her, like, yeah, let's do it. And it's suddenly silent. Everyone's very solemn about this. Yeah. And so Jaime then, you know, has her kneel down. He pulls out his sword. And Brienne is so teary. It's very, very sweet. And
it is sweet.
He goes through like the whole litany of what you say when you knight somebody in the Seven Kingdoms. Arise, a knight of the Seven Kingdoms. And, you know, Tormund applauds really, really loudly. The others,
so sweet.
Brienne's cheering for her.
That's Brienne, what she deserves.
Brienne smiles for like the first time we've ever seen her, like, toothy smile. Cut outside.
Then we've got in the courtyard, Jorah is fighting with Lyanna Mormont, who wants to fight instead of being in the crypt. He's just like, you're the future of our house. You're also very young. And she's like, I'm fighting for the fucking North, you asshole. Of course I'm going to do that. You have no say in that. Absolutely not. And he's just like, fine, whatever. And
she says, Sam, I wish you good fortune.
Yes. Good luck, cousin. Bye. Sam goes to, and gives his Valyrian steel sword to Jorah, who he knows will be able to use it better than he can. And back in the hall.
I want to say this about these swords. These Valyrian steel swords, like, people didn't take it lightly. It's another one of these gorgeous, gorgeous, like, Oathkeeper kind of beautifully worked sword. Heartsbane is just a beautiful sword. I'm sorry.
Yes. Moving on. Back in the hall, Tyrion requests a song, and Podrick starts to sing with a great voice. While he's singing, there's a montage of people preparing. Sam and Gilly are looking over little Sam as he sleeps, which is really sweet. Theon and Sansa are eating and enjoying each other's company. In parentheses, I said, the pairing I wanted. Tell me how they're framing this, Mom. Like, look at this.
I know how they're framing it, Natalie. I also know it can't go anywhere.
I know it can't go anywhere, and that's totally fine with me that it doesn't go anywhere. However, I prefer this to fucking Gendry and Sansa. That's weird to me. Arya is awake while Gendry's like sleeping after sex, and Missandei and Grey Worm make out as a goodbye or like a good luck. And Jorah gets to the front lines. He's preparing. Daenerys then visits Jon in the crypts because that's always where he will be, and he tells her the truth about himself, revealing ancest, I say. Daenerys thinks that they're lying. She's just like, okay, so your best friend and your brother decided now was the best time to tell you this. And he's just like, I trust them. But she has very little time to like take in the fact that she's like, oh, you're the heir to the Iron Throne. You're like the male heir in the Targaryen line now. That's not only true, but also like it's line of succession, not just the male heir part.
The way she phrases it really bothers me. Again, there's phrasing on both sides. So John says her, it's true, Danny, and he's been told not to call her. I found that interesting. And she's like, but if it were, you'd have a claim to the throne.
A claim, bitch? Yeah,
no, exactly. She clearly, her first response, and you see in her eyes, is anger. And you know, like it's some sort of betrayal. And while she's still,
it's not his fault.
we hear the horns.
Yeah.
And
the dead have arrived.
All nod to each other. Tyrion is on the wall looking out, and we see.
I'm surprised they chose to use Tyrion for this moment. I'm just saying.
And we see the White Walker generals arrayed on the field.
Yep, that's the end.
Episode. So what were your best parts?
Brienne getting knighted, Podrick, Arya and Gendry getting it on, Sansa for showing Dany who's boss, Theon reuniting with Sansa is really sweet, Jon's reunions with the Brothers of the Night's Watch are cute, and the groupings I think is a very interesting choice. I liked them. I did like them. What about you?
Sam, I think, is a big, big plus for me. Podrick, Grey Worm and Missandei, I like. Gendry, Arya, I like. Jaime and Tyrion, I like. Jaime in general, I think you're trying to make amends to people, whatever. Tormund, I love him in this. Ed, Tyrion in the context with Jaime. Brienne, I'm not really sure that I love the knighting that much. I don't think I ever loved it. I like that someone's acknowledging her.
I like that it's acknowledged. I also would like to add Gilly.
I think it goes on way too long is my problem. I mean, way too long. And I really like Sansa and Theon in this. Their reunion and all that stuff. I like that a lot.
I also would like to add Gilly to my list. I like how she's able to like help with the kids and all that stuff. Worst part? Daenerys. Jesus. Yeah. No.
She is the worst of everything in this episode.
She's the worst. And then people being dumb about the battle plans. But we'll get to that in the next episode.
I just feel like Dany's the worst part. What grade did you give this episode?
I gave this one an A-. I think I might demote it now that I think about it. Because not much happens. I feel like more happens in the last episode. However, I'm keeping that one a B+ as well, but I might demote this one to a B+. I think they're about on par for me. I think that I like the groupings. I like the talks that people are having. I like that. I kind of just like the people just living in the world, but it also kind of, I'm glad we had this moment of just kind of like everyone's preparing for what's going to happen. And instead of it just being like, I don't know. I just like the moment of calm before the storm.
Yeah, I agree. I like the calm before the storm, but I don't love this episode. I gave it a B+. I don't think it's as good as the last episode because the last episode had more action in it. I do think we have two sequences, one in that first episode, one in this episode that are far too long.
The montage of the singing?
not the montage of the singing, the Brienne being knighted thing. I think it's just and I felt like the dragon flight thing in the last one was far too long. It's like, come on. But there's a lot of self-indulgent stuff going on in these two episodes, and I'm for as rushed as the storyline seems to have been, these episodes feel a little bloated in a way. It's hard to explain.
They're going to get even more bloated because the next couple ones are like hour and 20 minutes each. And then
Love this next episode.
I love moments in this next episode. I would not say maybe I love the episode as a whole. I don't know. We'll find out. But it's been a while. I think that there's things I love about the next episode. Then things kind of go downhill, but we'll get there. I do have thoughts about the next episode. We'll see how I feel. It's just, they're all very long.
Anyway, I do love this next episode. The last three, I don't have fond memories, so we shall see. Anyway, we are looking forward to this next episode. I am. And we hope that you join us. And
cheers.
Cheers.